Hello, welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo. I have with me today the founder and CEO of LifeLog Health, Dr. Gordon Jones. Dr. Jones, thank you so much for joining the program today.
Hey, man, it's my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. And by the way, call me Gordon because I just used the doctor to get past the secretary.
Well, speaking of that, Gordon, you want to give us a little bit about your history and background?
Sure. So I'm not a physician. My doctorate is in health administration. I actually have my master's and doctorate in health administration from the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, where I also went to the Citadel. Before I got into healthcare, I went into the Army for a little while and then got out and started my healthcare career.
You're one of the early technical guys in healthcare dating back to the 90s, right?
Yeah, so after my master's, you get trained to do a hospital administration in those programs, but I'm the kind of guy that can't stand four walls. And so I decided that I was going to go out and work with physicians instead of inside the hospitals. And so in the early 90s, after my master's, I started working with physicians because they were dealing with managed care as it was rolling out across the country, and especially here in the Southeast. They didn't even know the words managed care when it came to us. So I had to get them ramped up on managed care and then help them develop strategies on how they could make sure they took advantage of the opportunities in managed care, because if they waited around for it to kick them in the butt, it would. So we were pretty successful, but we also realized that what we really needed to do in managed care was manage information and do that efficiently. And we were doing it by paper back then. And so that is actually when I decided in 1997 to switch gears and get into health information technology. Joined at the time one of the world's largest health information technology companies at the time, National Data Corporation in Atlanta. Basically, they had created the whole pharmacy claims network on their credit card processing system. So it was pretty innovative. And I decided to join those guys to learn the biz. And in January of 2000, I actually left them to jump into the throes of internet and healthcare. And actually, my doctoral dissertation was on research around physician adoption of the internet in their practice to serve their patients. I kind of a pioneer. I've had 15 startups. We created the first purely web-based physician billing company, created what's called a health information exchange back in 2001, which was very early, but then a whole bunch of other stuff.
And it's interesting because when you turn the calendar back to that day and time, there was a lot of physician resistance to adopting health IT strategies.
Yeah.
So what made you keep going?
Well, so first of all, one of my favorite quotes about change is from C.S. Lewis. And he said, "Isn't it funny how day to day nothing changes? But when you look back, everything is different." And, so I did my doctoral dissertation on the physician adoption of the internet and what patients would do as a result of that. And it was based on 1999 research data. So just a couple of years ago, I kind of reviewed the status. And I was very disappointed that C.S. Lewis's quote was really not as accurate. The physicians, they only because of Obamacare did they really even start adopting electronic medical records and things like that in their practice. And everybody hates change, but it gets forced upon you. And, we certainly have changed a lot from the mid-90s. But we're still way behind other industries. I mean, the financial industry is way ahead of us. Every other industry is way ahead of us in adoption of technology to really manage processes. And of course, the physician's pushback in is that it's their brain that manages the process from a clinical perspective, at least. And then they want to push off and leave all the administrative stuff to other people, which is what we've been attempting to use technology to serve up. But, 15% of the $3.5 trillion, so in other words, $500 billion, we spend on pushing paper. Mm. still in this country. And so it's something we really got to get a handle on. I mean, doctors are still using faxes. I mean, my wife's pediatrics practice, and when somebody sends over a referral, it's by fax. It's not by any other way but fax.
Yeah, that gives me nightmares of back when I was at the front office of an outpatient clinic and having to manage that that fax and paper process. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to HIPAA and protected health information, and, you know, the reluctance of adopting these technologies are generally centered around privacy and security.
Yeah.
And have you found that when you're trying to adopt these innovative solutions, that the first thing is brought up is the HIPAA argument?
Oh yeah. So I have a little story about that. So my step aunt-in-law, if you can track that, is Nancy Kassebaum, senator from Kansas. And have you heard the Kennedy Kassebaum Act of 1996? Do you know what that is?
I do not.
That is what turned into the health, and it's not improvement. Everybody says it's improvement, but it's the Healthcare Portability Act, really, is what HIPAA is for. So their whole intention was in you being able to switch health plans without losing coverage, was the reason they created that act. The Kennedy Kassebaum Act of 1996 that turned into HIPAA. Nancy Kassebaum is just as disappointed as everybody else that the regulators focused on the PHI side of the story instead of the portability side of the story. And it is disappointing because it has totally slowed down, I mean, even just servicing patients dealing with all of the HIPAA issues. Really, at the end of the day, the office of the IOG, who was supposed to be the one responsible for monitoring HIPAA violations. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, they can't really enforce it unless somebody brings up an issue and then they investigate, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's just a whole lot of money is being spent on that. And actually, we are working on a solution that cuts out a lot of the bureaucratic portion of the requirements of HIPAA, not in a provider having to comply with HIPAA, because we will always have to comply with HIPAA until they get rid of HIPAA, but a much easier way of managing the security of personal health information. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that in a little bit.
And, you know, one of the biggest barriers that I've found or one of the things that really affects the patient experience is that nowadays the way that we interact with each other is changing, whether it's social media, whether it's these smart devices. We want to transmit information and get information back to us as soon as possible. But where that all stops is at the doctor's office. Do you feel that some of the technologies you're working on may be able to improve the patient experience?
So we definitely see the wearable space enabling a better patient experience as well as stronger patient engagement in the process. I can't necessarily say that we're trying to solve the change in behavior on the provider side. We are certainly enabling them to access the information that they need to make a clinical decision quicker based upon data, what we call personally generated data. So it's all the data that an individual creates while they're not in the office with the doctor. And it could be written down. I mean, it includes writing down on a paper log, but we're really focused on the electronic version of it, allowing wearables and the Internet of Things to capture personal data automatically and then enable that individual to be able to see what their data is telling them about their health status. And so that's what we're focused on. And then providing that same information to their doctor so that before they go see the doctors in an office visit, the doctor has the ability to see what's been going on the last week, month, quarter, or even year through our time, what we call a time scale that illustrates all these data points that we've captured over this period of time compared to other data points. And it just gives a doctor, he can look at it in 30 seconds and say, okay, I understand what's going on. And they don't have that today. So we believe we've created some technology. And it's really nothing more than a dashboard illustrating data. But the doctors just don't use that type of technology today. So we're pushing the envelope, but we're enabling the patient to go to their doctor and say, hey, I'm wearing this wearable, and I want you to use my data and your care decisions about me. You know, that patient doesn't care whether that doctor uses it for their whole practice, like a salesperson would. But, you know, the doctors, and this is what happened in managed care, right? So back in the 90s, when managed care was rolling out across the country, they were selling managed care plans to employers and individuals, and they were buying in because they were having lower premium costs. Well, their doctors might not necessarily have been a member of the panel. So what the health plans, the managed care companies were doing was say, okay, here, take this letter with you to your doctor, and it's going to tell your doctor about our plan. And you're going to tell your doctor, say, doctor, if you don't get on my panel, I can't come see you anymore. And so then the doctor started to have, you know, they'll brush off 10 patients because that's no big deal from, you know, from a change standpoint. But when you start talking about 200, 500, and half of your patient population joining managed care plans, then you got to start figuring out how you're going to make money in managed care. And so we're having the same discussion today in the adoption of wearable technology. So the doctors are not necessarily ready for it because they think they're going to be inundated with all this big data that they don't have any idea on how to deal with. So what LifeLog Health is really doing is capturing all that data and then rendering it into a very usable and illustrative dashboard that shows the doctor what's going on so the doctor can make a determination about and how they combine that wearable data with their clinical data that they've captured in the office visit to create even a more precise care plan for the patient. And so that's really what we're pushing towards.
I'm with Dr. Gordon Jones, founder and CEO of LifeLog Health. Going back to what LifeLog is focusing on, how do you capture, we talked a little bit about wearables, but for my audience, let's talk a little bit about what those wearables would look like in the kind of data that you capture.
Okay. So certainly everybody's familiar with Fitbit and the Apple Watch and maybe even the Samsung Wear Watch and all these other, because of the success of Fitbit, I mean, there's like 1,200 wearable devices out there now, and there are more and more coming into the market every day. So what these wearables do, different functionalities, but basically they're reading metrics that an individual patient generates throughout their daily life. So in the case of a Fitbit, they're tracking their distance walked or run. They can capture their heart rate, potentially their breath rate, and then they use those three data points to determine some messaging that they want the wearer to understand about themselves. So we're device agnostic in one sense, in that our platform can capture and use data from any wearable or IoT device, Internet of Things device. But our primary device that we have in the market today, or that we're using within the system, is called the Helo LX, and it's H-E-L-O and then LX for extra gumption, I guess. But the Helo LX has some very interesting functionality. It uses a processor made by Toshiba that is what's called a photoplethysmography sensor. And what it does is it's in a wrist-based wearable, and it permeates the skin with an infrared light, and then it measures the reflection of that light from the capillary, from the blood flow in the capillaries. And then that blood flow is what tells us different parameters of the biometrics of the individual. So, for example, we can determine what your heart rate is from the blood flow. We can determine your breath rate. We can determine your oxygenation in the blood. We can even determine your blood pressure, okay, as well as activity and sleep functionality through the Helo. And then we take all that data, we have algorithms that interpret the data into information that's illustrated through a mobile app or through a website, web page, so that you start to understand, you know, what's going on with your body anytime during the day, and then over a period of time, the day, the week, the month, the year. And that starts to get you as an individual to understand the changes that your body goes through based upon what's going on, whether you're sick, whether you're well and active and you're, you know, you're working out every day. And so this is the type of information that we want individuals to start to capture and understand about themselves, because then we can work with that, with them, to start changing their behavior to make those biometrics better for them, and then also, you know, provide that information to their doctor.
This is great information. I can see a real benefit to patient engagement and having patients take a more active role in their health. What kind of transformation do you see happening at the physician office with these wearables?
So we'll have to hit on now value-based healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. So all of the doctors are starting to develop their strategies around how they're going to not just comply with the new regulations under value-based care, but also make sure they're maximizing their capabilities so that they can increase their income through bonuses through MACRA. And I'm sure everybody is, on the physician side at least, has heard what MACRA is. And it's basically the way that doctors will be reimbursed now through the Accountable Care Act for quality of service, patient satisfaction, and outcomes. And so we see that wearables can serve physicians highly in working on their MACRA matrix and being able to achieve the goals that will allow them to maximize their reimbursement under MACRA.
Yeah, and that could have tremendous benefit to a physician practice, especially with the amount of information they record. Do you see these wearables in the data that's produced with them? You had mentioned a little bit about big data and too much information. Is this distributed to the physicians in a way that can help them automate a process without overwhelming them with documentation?
Yeah, so I had mentioned that we had created a dashboard, and that's really the reason we created our own dashboard to visualize wearable data for the doctor is their electronic medical records cannot handle this type of data. They were designed to capture clinical information to generate a claim for billing, was the reason these EMRs were designed. They weren't designed necessarily to help the doctor make a clinical decision. So we have created a dashboard that allows the doctor, it's a separate application, but it can be on a tablet, a phone, or through the web. And the way that we see and we suggest doctors to adopt initially is, you know, they have their patients scheduled. In the patient's chart, it says, okay, they're using a Helo or they're using a LifeLog Health application. And what they will do is they'll bring that patient's LifeLog Health profile up right before they go in and see that patient. And because they can see that data visually over any period of time that they want to and get up to date on the status of that patient based upon their personally generated health data while they're out of the office. And you know, you can look at it in 30 seconds, understand what's been going on with that patient over that period of time, and then go in and review the chart notes and all that stuff that they normally do now, and use both sets of data to communicate with the patient about how they're doing, ask them pertinent questions, and then if there's some level of investigation that they need to continue on to make a diagnosis, then they do what they do and they go down that path, and they have just used our application to help them get started down that path.
Not only this podcast and the podcast notes, there's going to be some videos about how the process works, but also over at lifeloghealth.com. All of those links are going to be contained within the podcast notes. So I would encourage everybody listening here to watch the short demos. I know that I had seen you guys on the Today Show, and I was very interested about that because it, you know, when I was watching that footage, I thought that was great.
Well, we, you know, that's kind of a coup when you do that type of stuff, right? So, but yeah, so we got an inside track there, and we were able to get on the Today Show, and it's been on Fox. We've been on national Fox, not just the national Today Show, and then a lot of local media outlets as well, and articles on the tech. And of course, we're worldwide, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're in Asia and Australia and the UK and Europe and India. And so we're getting the same type of interest around the world. We sold over 500,000 helos within since May of last year.
Wow.
So we're on track to be number five in the world in the wearable space. So we expect to sell 1 million helos by the end of this year.
It's so amazing because patients like me, we're wanting to participate in our own care, and we're wanting to kind of say, what information can I bring to the doctor to better manage my condition? And I just see what you guys are doing is just so positive, you know, from my perspective or my lens, and, you know, the way that it helps create efficiencies in the physician practice, as well as gives them the data they need to make decisions, you know, is just so promising. As we're getting close to the end of our show here, do you have any closing thoughts that you could share with our audience?
Sure. Well, I do want to tease everybody. LifeLog Health is in the process of leveraging what is called blockchain technology in order to secure the personal health data that runs through our platform, and then also creating a cryptocurrency that will allow us to help finance healthcare costs in around the world, but certainly here in the U.S. So stay tuned for more from LifeLog Health. And we got some exciting things coming down the pipe. They're going to help both the patients and the doctors come together.
So how can they stay tuned?
So just you can go to our website, LifeLog, and that's so the word life, L-I-F-E, and then log, L-O-G, health, health.com. So lifeloghealth.com. You can register on that to follow us. We're on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. Well,
that's great. Dr. Gordon Jones, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate these breakthroughs in health information technology.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And we wish you and everyone over there at LifeLog Health continued success. I'm Matt Cavallo. He's Dr. Gordon Jones. Stay tuned for another Patient Activation Network podcast soon.